Hello and welcome to this episode of the Government and Not-for-Profit podcast brought to you by Business News Wales. I'm Gemma Casey, editor of Business News Wales. Well, this year has seen a major change in the procurement landscape with the implementation of the Procurement Act 2023. With the public sector marketplace in Wales worth almost £11 billion and a renewed focus on opportunities for small businesses, how are things changing for both buyers and suppliers? And with this year's ProcureX Wales event fast approaching, I'm joined by three guests to consider this and more. So welcome to Richard Dooner, Programme Manager at Welsh Local Government Association, Graham Steed, Director for Public Policy and Research at BIP Solutions, which is hosting ProcureX Wales in partnership with Welsh Government, and Thomas Lewis, Partner at Blake Morgan LLP. Hi all, thanks for joining me.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
So, Graham, before we get into this discussion about procurement then, tell us a little bit about BIP Solutions and ProcureX.
Yeah, for sure. So we've been in business for around 40 years. Our mission statement is to empower business and government to work together to create a better society for all, which sounds very grandiose, but basically what we're trying to do is help governments, contracting authorities, and suppliers really engage to ensure that we're getting better outcomes for public spending. So really just trying to be kind of in the intersection of that relationship between the buyer community and the supplier community. And we do that through a number of online solutions that help provide access to opportunities. We actually help buyers go to market with their requirements. We do consultancy. But we also have a portfolio of events, some of which are under the ProcureX brand and one of which is ProcureX Wales, which will be taking place on the 4th of November in Cardiff and something that we're really looking forward to once more.
Thank you, Graham. And I know we'll talk more about ProcureX a little bit later in the episode. But Richard, to move on to you, tell me a little bit then about the role of the WLGA when it comes to procurement.
Well, the WLGA is a politically led cross-party organisation that seeks to give local government a strong voice at a national level. So we represent the interests of local government and we promote local democracy. And what we do for councils, collectively, we also do for procurement by councils. Councils in Wales procure it's something in the region of £5.5 billion, that's £5,500 million worth of goods and services that are bought in the process of delivering local government services. So it's about supporting that frontline delivery of services through the procurement and involving procurement. We have 22 councils in Wales and as our members, we also have the three fire and rescue authorities and three national park authorities as associate members, and recently we've also been joined by the Police and Crime Commissioners as associate members as well. And we in the WLJ believe that the ideas that change people's lives happen locally. Communities are at their best when they feel connected to their council through local democracy. So by championing, facilitating, and achieving those sort of connections, we can build both a vibrant local democracy that allows communities to thrive and to procure in a manner that helps that and supports that and allows it to happen. So ultimately, we're here to protect, promote, support, develop local government and the interests of democratic councils in Wales.
Thank you, Richard. Some really interesting points there that I know we'll come back to a little bit later. Thomas, tell us a little bit about your role at Blake Morgan and how it fits with this topic of procurement.
So I'm a partner in our commercial and public sector team here at Blake Morgan. I'm based in our Cardiff office, but we also have offices the other side of Offers Dyke in London, Manchester, Oxford, Southampton, Reading. So we advise on both sides of the border. And that's especially important with the Procurement Act because there are key differences in Wales as compared to England or the rest of the UK. So we have a team of specialist procurement lawyers here. We have a number of our lawyers who specialise solely or mostly in procurement law. And we advise both public sector contracting authorities and suppliers in relation to public procurement. That includes kind of the strategy, the procedures, the documentation, as well as the challenges that may arise from procurement law compliance. So our litigation team have advised a number of contracting authorities, including recently in the High Court and Court of Appeal. So we offer the kind of cradle to grave service in relation to procurement law advice.
Thank you, Thomas. Now, since we spoke about this subject on this podcast a year ago, the Procurement Act has come into force. It came into force in February this year. So I'm really interested to hear from each of you what difference, if any, that is making. Graham, tell us what opportunities the implementation of that Act is opening up, in your opinion.
Yeah, I think it's been really exciting, actually. Obviously, it's long anticipated, delayed more than once, and it eventually went live 24th of February. It's quite hard to believe, you know, how long ago that was already, given all the build-up to the Act. For me, I think, probably the most exciting thing, not least given part of what we do as a business, is really about transparency and data. And just the fact that the Procurement Act has really opened up a great deal more insight into not just procurement, but also the kind of the commercial activities of the various different contracting authorities. So suppliers now have much more visibility of opportunities and where those opportunities are arising. And it's no longer just the fairly sort of binary contract notice and contract award scenario that we've been used to, but actually, you know, a lot more insight into all the various different stages of the commercial and procurement life cycle, starting with pipeline notices. So giving suppliers much more visibility of potential procurements that are coming down the track in the next 12 to 18 months. Much more of a focus on preliminary market engagement, which, you know, we've always encouraged, you know, this idea that you should be engaging the market and finding out what solutions and innovations are out there. Certainly our data seems to suggest that, you know, a number of authorities are really taking that opportunity up through the new Act and through the new forms that they're able to use to do it. And more transparency in terms of some of the data that's going to come off the back of, you know, contracts and supplier performance and KPIs as well. So I think, you know, certainly from our perspective, it's been, you know, as ever, you know, there are some things that maybe it doesn't do to the extent that it was intended at first, but we think it's a really important step forward. You know, there's the data aspects, but I think also in terms of buyer behavior and market engagement, and really trying to bring suppliers closer and having much more transparency, we think it's a really positive step. Obviously, there's a consultation that's only just recently closed, and there's some more suggestions in that that we might talk about a bit later, which I think could further enhance it. But I think it's been a really good step forward, and certainly we're very positive about it and looking forward to seeing, you know, how it unfolds into the future as well.
And Richard, how about you? What is your take on how the implementation is going so far?
I'm glad to hear Graham mention the transparency, because we put a lot of effort into that, and a lot of the work at the moment is going into implementing the systems that support the new regulations. As you might expect, we're just a few months in, and it's a UK-wide legislation that's being applied here in Wales and has to fit in with the Wales procurement regime. So there's a couple of things we want to see happen, and we're putting a lot of effort into, including improving transparency right across that commercial life cycle that Graham alluded to. We're trying to reduce barriers as well, particularly for smaller businesses and social enterprises. And whilst we're doing that, to enable better scrutiny of public spending through that improved transparency. So I'm glad it's landing well. Now, the legislation's been getting a lot of attention recently, and you'd expect that because it's dealing with the mechanics of procurement and our legal obligations, and everybody involved with procurement has to adapt to the new rules which underpin the Act. But the Act's more of an evolution for us, more of an evolution than a revolution. I think the revolution's coming, and I'll allude to that later. But most of what we can now do, we could do before if we needed to. So if anything is going to change, we need to change behaviours too. Otherwise, there's a risk that we'll just be doing what we did before under the new rules. And well, that's not good enough. Councils are all the time trying to improve engagement, work with the businesses that supply them and the people in the communities locally to do a better job. I'm hoping that we have these simplified rules. I've got my fingers crossed when I hear that, because the challenge of meeting all the obligations as public contracting authorities, while also still being easy to do business with, isn't easy.
Thomas, let's bring you in there. That's an interesting point that Richard makes about the ease of doing business. Have you seen any changes this year from your point of view in terms of improvements that the Act has ushered in?
So it must be remembered, it's still very much early days of the Act. We are 6 months in, and it's only now that some of the initial procurements, which would have been commenced under the new Act, are actually coming to some sort of end and the contract being awarded. So it's going to take a good time to really see the bigger impact of the Act. But that's not to say that there's already been an impact by some of the new provisions of the Act. Graham alluded to the pre-market engagement, kind of the improvement in visibility and transparency about that. Certainly that's been something I've noticed. Clients in the public sector are much keener to utilise pre-market engagement, which then means suppliers are much more aware of opportunities at a much earlier stage, and the ability to actually have their voice heard to some extent at a much earlier stage of the process, and that both sides can kind of learn lessons at an early stage of the procurement. In addition to that, there's the notices, and again, Graham touched on that, and as someone who loves statistics, spreadsheets, graphs, absolutely the being able to analyse what contracting authorities are doing, who they're doing business with. So one of the points I've been able to pick up from that is that, at least very initially, in the first few months, the use of a competitive flexible procedure, mm-hmm. which seemed to be quite slow and authorities a bit reluctant to use it, and that's perfectly understandable. But there's certainly been an uptick in that recently, authorities making the most of that flexible procedure moving forward. I, from a notices perspective, I still think some authorities are still trying to understand the what, when and where and how really as to what they're doing. We've had the first flurry of pipeline notices, the annual notices, and again, that's a great kind of tool from a transparency perspective. So there are things which, because of the timing, authorities want to have got to. So the contract management stuff, obviously without getting into contract, you don't get into the modification. The contract performance notice requirements are not in force yet, which we haven't seen. The question I get asked quite often is, who's on the debarment list? Yeah, spoiler, no one at the moment. We may have got close through the Grenfell inquiry, kind of the investigations that came after the Grenfell inquiry, but that's been put on ice for a while. So it's been a good start. It's a change. There are certainly improvements, but I suspect if we do this podcast this time next year and the year after that, we'll have truly seen the impact of the Act by then.
Thank you, Thomas. Richard, you were nodding away there. Does a lot of what Thomas spelt out there really resonate with you?
It's very familiar, as it should be, really, because we certainly are concerned with new rules to make sure that we're compliant. We don't want to be creating conflict here. We actually want to work with our suppliers, with our communities. But there's some practical considerations here. Where we simplify it in one place, we tend to find it needs more in another place to manage the risks. So, for example, if we've got a simplified procurement process that's based on populating a central digital system and reusing the information on it, we have to make sure that the information we need is on that system. It has to be accessible and it has to be used by everyone. Otherwise, we just end up with duplicates and there's just another beast to feed. And a lot of this work is just hard work, and it's all rather boring, but it's very important that we get it right, because we don't have unlimited people involved in procurement. It's actually quite a small community, and we need those guys driving value to help deliver frontline services rather than doing unnecessary administration. And what I say there for procurement officer also applies to our suppliers. We don't expect our suppliers to put unlimited resource into the process of tendering. What we want is to make good contractual relationships with people who do a good job for us. And for those guys then to be working with ours to be delivering services. So we're doing our best on that, and we are improving. But we don't just do this because it's an academic exercise. We do this to improve transparency because we want to be fair and engaged with our communities. We need to reduce barriers for SMEs and social enterprises because we want to do more business with those sorts of organizations. And we need to enable better scrutiny of public spending as well, because we need that spending to be working to help deliver better public services. One of the good things that we're starting to see with the Procurement Act is the ability, you can drag an API key out of the central digital system, and you can drag that data out and have a look at it. And we still don't have the 12 months of data, but for those of us able to look at the data and understand what it means, we're getting some good information. So we've got some big asks, and it's important that we back each other to achieve them. So I think whether you're in the legal side, whether you're one of the companies that are helping to support procurement, or whether you're a procurement practitioner, they're just different sides, really, of the same big team. We're all trying to do the same thing.
Graham, Richard has spoken there briefly about opportunities for SMEs, and you mentioned it earlier as well. Now, this was something that was quite key to the new Act, wasn't it? Whether that's around visibility and transparency, as you've said, whether it's around opportunities coming up mid-contract and also prompt payment. How much are those things changing for SMEs?
Yeah, it's such a key area. I struggle with the SME definition because I think what we're really talking about here is the small and micro businesses rather than the medium size, because SMEs are 99% of the population. But I think there's definitely been some really good intent, I think, in the Act about what it's trying to achieve and how it's trying to open these things up. I think the prompt payment is massively important, and you know, it's pretty unacceptable, I think, for a supplier that's working maybe through a prime contractor to have to wait to get paid more than 30 days or 60 days when that main contractor's already been paid. So things that address that and that make sure that the value of that spend is flowing its way down. And we all know for small businesses in particular, micro businesses, cash flow is absolutely critical. So if you want a healthy supply chain, if you want to have a more diverse mix of suppliers and suppliers that perhaps better understand the outcomes the buyers are driving for, then you need to provide for that. So I do think prompt payment and making sure that cash is flowing through the supply chain is massively important. So that is something that we absolutely commend. I think as well the Act speaks quite well to innovation. And again, coming back to preliminary market engagement and the ability of suppliers to talk to buyers and talk to them about possible solutions, I think is a really good driver. And I think Richard said it, that's always been there to an extent, but perhaps there's been a bit of a wariness about it from suppliers wondering if they're doing the right thing or they're transgressing procurement rules by trying to approach a buyer, and equally buyers perhaps being reluctant or unsure about what they could do. So potentially breaking down that barrier and allowing those small businesses that often have really clever solutions to the problems that are being raised by the public sector, I think is really good. And if some innovation can come out of that improve public services, then we're all for that. So I think there's still a long way to go. I think the Act is definitely a big step in the right direction. There's still an awful lot of work to do to tender successfully and to get your business in shape to do that. There's still a fair degree of bureaucracy involved, but it steps in the right direction. And hopefully, again, with the consultation that is talking about pushing more opportunities to small businesses and involving the voluntary sector, more of that starts to come through. And I think it's particularly important in areas like local government where quite often smaller micro businesses just have a much better understanding of what the local community needs than a larger organization based somewhere else. So hopefully we do see more of that. Certainly I'm really optimistic about it. I think it would just deliver better value all around.
A really important point you raised there, Graham, about the proximity of smaller businesses to their community. Richard, we talked in last year's podcast about the shift in emphasis from the most economically advantageous tender to just the most advantageous tender. And we talked about there being social and environmental benefits, which in Wales, of course, are very strongly aligned to the Wellbeing of Future Generations Act. Now, you said in the podcast last year, and I thought this was a great quote, we've got to do more with the money than just spend it. How are we doing, Richard, in terms of making progress on that?
We are making progress with it. One of the frustrations with one of the beauties of the Wellbeing of Future Generations Act is it's actually a gorgeous piece of policy, but it's so difficult to do because it's so broad. And, you know, you push any broad object through a viscous liquid, it's going to go slowly. It's not going to be as quick. And so I think that's what we're having with the Wellbeing of Future Generations Act. We're still at it. We're still implementing that act. It hasn't gone as quickly as some of us would have liked, but it is happening, and there are new things coming along which will help, including the Social Partnerships and Public Procurement Act, which we'll probably mention later. But procurement certainly now recognised as a strategic lever, which is helping to deliver wellbeing outcomes. We are running pilots and some frameworks here in Wales, supported by Welsh Government, which are helping public bodies measure and report on social value consistently. We're also seeing with the new regulations and guidance, which are aiming directly to increase direct spend with SMEs and VCS, sorry, small businesses and voluntary and community social enterprises. Now, councils in Wales already outperform central government in this area. So some councils are reporting a 35% direct spend with small business. That's not surprising, not at all surprising to me, because that's what our communities are made up of, mostly. And I think there's an underappreciated side to this as well. The policy drive is towards doing more business directly with small businesses and voluntary and community social enterprises. But actually, micro SMEs, which are very important here, and they seem to be missing from a lot of the policy, but they're not forgotten by us, and they certainly form a part of the Wellbeing of Future Generations Act. And that legislation, by the way, underpins all procurement in Wales, and all of the other legislation is underpinned by Future Gen. We need to understand that micro SMEs do operate efficiently in the supply chain, and quite often you don't deal with them directly, and nor would you want to, nor would they want to, but they operate in the supply chain of much larger principals. That's principals with a capital P and an A at the end. Those operators are very much part of our communities, and what they do is every bit as important. Sometimes what they are or how they're classified is actually what they do and what they represent. And we need to have the maturity to be able to see them and know them and appreciate the local impacts of our procurement decisions. So there's a risk that perhaps in deliberately going for an SME direct approach that we might cut off that some of those micro businesses that are working underneath the umbrella of a principal. So it's just about using intelligence and having the people there with that insight to be able to make the right decisions when the decisions are being made.
Really interesting points there, Richard. Thomas, let's bring you in there. So Richard has alluded to several different pieces of legislation there which affect procurement in Wales. And at the top, you mentioned that there is a slightly different landscape in Wales to in England. So from your point of view, how important is it for suppliers and buyers in Wales to be across all of that legislation and really understand that landscape?
Yeah, and I love the way Richard describes the policy behind the Wellbeing of Future Generations Act. I don't think I've ever heard a piece of law being called gorgeous before, and I'm going to probably steal that off Richard. But no, absolutely. There's differences in the Act both within the Act and how the subordinate legislation works as well. There are differences within the Act which either apply differently in Wales or don't apply at all in Wales. So publications of contract modification notices, etc., they may be different or not actually apply in most instances in Wales. Confusingly, may apply in Wales if Welsh authorities are doing things in a certain way. so it is because of the confusion, which is added to by the fact then the separate subordinate legislation. We have the Procurement Wales regulations, which are different to the procurement regulations. And again, both can apply in different circumstances. And as Richard alluded to as well, we then have our genuinely Welsh legislation. So with the Future Gen Act, and we will have, as Richard alluded to, the Social Partnership and Public Procurement Wales Act. So each time I say that, I've got to count the P's to make sure I've covered everything. So I think it's three P's. So it is important. And that's one of the things I maybe have seen in the early days is procurement officers in Wales not quite being 100% sure as to what applies and when. So there is it's important for particularly contracting authorities to get it right. And for suppliers to understand that when they're tendering in Wales, there may be things which are slightly different. Yeah, it can be confusing and difficult, but I think moving forward, there will be a Welsh way of procuring, which can only be a good thing.
Graham, now we've alluded a couple of times already to procurement teams, and Thomas has just said there about an evolving landscape means that they might need to understand a new legislation and so on. I know that one of the key areas of focus for ProcureX this year will be around skills. Procurement skills and procurement as a profession. In your view, how is this changing and what does that mean for the skills landscape? Are we doing enough to upskill procurement professionals?
Oh, I think this is just such a fascinating area. I mean, seriously, I think we could have a whole podcast devoted to this. I'm sure Richard will chip in a sec. I think we're at just such an interesting point. I think there are two things at the moment that we experience in our conversations with buyers and procurement teams. Yeah, one is about capacity, and just the fact that they've got so much on their plate just now, not least with trying to understand a new set of rules and new procedures, new practices around the Procurement Act, but also such a wide and varied agenda that we're trying to address through public spending, through public procurement. So awareness of sustainability, of social value, of ethics, and of economic regeneration, and skills development in communities. There's so many things. I mean, this is the thing that's so fascinating about public procurement, is that it affects so much of what we do, and therefore the people that are involved in the the commissioning of that and the delivery of that have a pretty big challenge on their hands, I think, to do that well. So there's a definitely a capacity issue that we see across the board, and then I think there is a capability and skills issue. And one area that we definitely pick up on quite a bit now is around the commercial side of things. So I think where procurement perhaps has been more, in many areas, kind of by the book, and has been very much driven by the process and the procedure and the rules, it is now moving to a place where those things are obviously still important, but there's much more around kind of the softer skills of commercial understanding, negotiation, those kind of aspects that maybe have not been quite as core in the past. And obviously moving much more now into contract management and supplier management as well. So I think there is a bit of a shift in terms of what's required of procurement professionals. And I'm not saying those things haven't been required before, but I think the emphasis is perhaps changing and moving more in that direction. And at the same time, through the Act and various other things, buyers are asked to be to think more creatively and to think about innovation, to think about engagement. And that again is a different set of skills to maybe what was traditional procurement in the past. So we see this, we talk to buyers all the time. We definitely see that that challenge that they've got in terms of a bit of a foot in both camps, but direction very much moving in terms of innovation, commercial, that side of things. And obviously that's something that we're trying to reflect in the event as well in ProcureX Wales, to make sure that those skills sessions are not just about, perhaps, in the past those sessions may have been about kind of core procurement skills, whereas now we are trying to cover more of the softer skills and those other areas that are just becoming increasingly important. So yeah, it's a really interesting area. And again, something else that we see in some of the great work of Scott Parfitt and others in terms of bringing through the next generation of procurement professional. Yeah, people that are coming into procurement with a very, you know, perhaps a very different view of the world to people that are, you know, already in place, who are perhaps more comfortable with digital and AI and, you know, kind of native in that space, which again, I think is just, you know, another fascinating area. So you've got, you know, a group of procurement professionals who have got, you know, in-depth knowledge of the way it's always been done and are adjusting to a new way of doing things. And then you've got, you know, a new generation coming through that are, you know, maybe thinking in different ways. So yeah, it's a really interesting time. And again, something that we're trying to reflect in the event.
Richard, I could see you were itching to come in on that skills topic.
That was a good shout, Graham. I think that's a very good shout, and a really good shout out to Scott, who's amongst one of the people who see procurement differently. So there's an old-fashioned view of procurement, and I get it all the time. It's the bit where you can't explain what you do for a living in a short sentence, and they all fall asleep. But if you think of procurement as just being all about compliance and value for money and being a sort of an audit and contracting and tendering, that is one side of it. But actually, there's a lot more involved in procurement as opposed to purchasing. It's not the business of just placing purchase orders. It's about working with the business, in this case, a council, working with the council to achieve the objectives of that council. And the real risk in procurement, we talk a lot about risk, but the real risk is that the money gets spent without achieving the objective it was being spent to do, and or perhaps achieving it, but only just, or perhaps in some kind of the wrong kind of relationship basis, that you're not actually operating as effectively as you could be. So this is part of the shift from most economically advantageous tendering, which focused on economics, it focused on finance, to this shift towards most advantageous tendering, which is saying, what are you trying to do for your council, your community, your nation? Are you really doing the best? Are you looking at the whole thing? Are you looking narrowly? So if you do look narrowly at value and you look at it from the perspective of somebody's budget, then you're only ever going to get a narrow result. You might get in under budget, but you might totally then miss the bigger opportunity, or in fact, miss the true costs to the organization of that decision that you make. So there's a lot to be done in local impact, appreciation of local impact. There's a lot to be done in what I call social value. I realize that's a term that means different things to different people, depending on where they are. But so I certainly think it's the entire value, not simply the financial value. It's the social, local, economic. It's actually what you're doing with that procurement exercise, and in fact, why you're doing it in the first place. I hope that makes sense, because I'm tending to ramble at this point because I'm just responding to what other people have said. So, but I think Graham did say that very well.
Thank you. Let's look in a little bit more depth then at Procurex Wales 2025. Graham, tell us a little bit about what attendees can expect this year. We've touched on a couple of the key themes, but there are more. And I know there are some exciting speakers and also lots of workshops.
Yes. So, I think, you know, in this virtual world that we live in, having the opportunity to be in one place on one day and take a look around is really valuable. And in essence, that's what Procurex Wales is all about. It's an opportunity for buyers and suppliers to talk, to network, to listen, to hear about some of the new innovations, to kind of share their ideas, to get some insights into best practice. And just to really get a good understanding of what's happening across the market. And I think it's important to remember, you know, public procurement in Wales is worth somewhere in the region of £11 billion annually, and potentially a lot more than that if you start factoring in future business and frameworks and everything else that's being generated. So it's a hugely valuable marketplace. So I think, you know, one day in the calendar where, whether you're on the buyer side or the supplier side, or you're another stakeholder that's impacted by public procurement, to come and get that understanding is really important. So yeah, we see it as a really kind of pivotal day in the Welsh public procurement calendar, and we're in Cardiff, so nice and easy to get to. And yes, the event is a mix of, you know, different kind of content streams, all set around a really vibrant exhibition floor. And I think it's really important just to kind of call out the exhibition side of the event, because people always get very excited about the content and the sessions and the speakers and everything else, which is all vitally important. But one of the great things about Procurex Wales, and anyone that went to the event last year or has been in previous years, I hope would agree with this, is that there's a really vibrant exhibition floor. So it's a really good way to kind of engage with suppliers who are active in the market and to get an understanding of what they have to offer, and to kind of see some of those innovations in practice and engage with them, you know, face to face. Yeah. We've been talking about market engagement at various points in our conversation so far. So an event like this is a practical opportunity to, you know, do an awful lot of engagement in one day. So yeah, the exhibition floor is really key to that. But you know, a bit broader than that, yeah, we do have a number of different themes. We have the Procurement Wales Conference, of course. And very pleased to say that, yeah, once again, yeah, the Welsh Government has been incredibly supportive of the Procurex Wales event and plays a very significant part in helping us to shape the agenda and to, you know, deliver the event on the day. So the Procurement Wales Conference is, you know, very much an opportunity to find out about kind of where we are just now, but also, you know, what the future holds. And the Procurement Act will obviously be part of that discussion. But other things we're looking at are the changing global political landscape. So, you know, while this is an event that's all about Wales and procurement in Wales, it is also looking wider than that and saying, well, what are the things in the broader market, the external kind of factors that could be, you know, shaping procurement and the kind of challenges that procurement professionals and suppliers are going to face in the future. And of course, what event would be complete without discussion around AI, which, I'm sorry, somebody had to mention it, even this deep in the conversation. But yeah, obviously AI is just such a factor now. And it's still not, I think we're still the early stages of really understanding its impact in public procurement. But it's a subject that's not going to go away. And it's really important that we discuss it and we talk about the virtues of AI, of which there are many, but potentially some of the challenges that it presents as well. So we have, within the Procurement Wales Conference, we have a panel session on that, and we're also covering that subject in several places within the Innovation Technology Zone. So we have the conference side, and then we have four separate zones that we think focus on the key areas, whether you're on the buyer side or the supplier side, that really matter. So a zone around innovation and technology, so really understanding, what the future looks like, what technology is going to do, digitization, what's that going to do, what is AI, data going to do, all these really powerful tools that we now have at our disposal, how do we use them to our advantage? We have a zone that's focused around sustainability and social procurement, which again, talking about that £11 billion of spend, you can do an awful lot of good with that spend. So we have a number of sessions and workshops that are really exploring in detail how does that happen in practice, and some great case studies in that as well. We have a zone that's about collaboration and partnering. And again, I think just recognizing that in this very interconnected world in which we live, you shouldn't need to go it alone. There's plenty of opportunities to collaborate, to work with different partners, whether that's across the buyer community or working in partnership with suppliers. So there's a number of workshops that really explore just how to do that really well. And again, some great case studies there and panel discussions. And we have a session around contract and risk management, just kind of recognizing, the whole contract management and supplier performance aspect is just increasingly important now. So talking about some of the things that affect that area, not least, what happens when you get past the signature, what happens when, a contract is in flight? What does that relationship look like? What should it look like, and how do you get more value from it? So it's a really diverse array of content. I think the challenge that people often have with the event is just how to plan your time and get across all the various sessions. We do have a pre-planner on the Procurex Wales website, which can certainly help you with that. Just really rich content, some great speakers, and just an opportunity to try and understand this market a bit better and see what the future holds in an area that's incredibly diverse and exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. And hopefully, if people in this conversation haven't registered already, they're going to do shortly.
Thank you, Graham. That is a great oversight. And Thomas, you will be taking part in ProcureX. Tell us briefly what you'll be doing there.
So Blake Morgan as a firm are proud and delighted to be a sponsor of ProcureX this year. So we are looking forward to playing our part in that. I'll be joining a Welsh Government panel on the Welsh Government stage, I think, around lunchtime, discussing where are we now and what's next. And I hadn't appreciated this. It's also been bolted on Ask Me Anything in the Procurement Act in practice. So I'm expecting some hospital passes from the floor there. But we'll also be hosting our own session. There'll be further details about the topic and the guests who'll be joining me and others in due course. But as we've just heard from Graham, it's a great event, a great day where we don't often get kind of events of those of that status and stature, which are Welsh only focused here in Wales, and you get all the people in the room on the very same day from government, the wider public sector, buyers, and general advisors. So I'm looking forward to seeing some familiar faces, some new faces. Having some discussions about how things are going it'll be 7 or 8 months by then. It's also an opportunity for us to celebrate public procurement in Wales. There's also the Go Awards in the evening where we truly get to celebrate what's kind of been happening over the last 12 months and beyond that. Being Welsh, we're typically modest and don't like kind of blowing our own trumpets. So it's always good to celebrate the great and the good in public procurement as well. I guess from a firm perspective, we get to showcase our expertise, our experience and our skill set. Being the only legal firm or law firm appointed to all lots of the Welsh Government Legal Services Framework and truly being able to support the public sector here in Wales across all kind of their needs. So, amongst all of that, I'm really looking forward to spending the day here in Cardiff with a lot of familiar and hopefully new faces.
Thank you, Thomas. And Richard, you will be taking part as well.
Yes, I always find ProcureX to be a pretty intense experience. If it was coffee, it would be espresso. And the difficulty there really is in deciding what not to do and what not to go to, because there's always two places that you want to be at once. Sometimes by jumping around the exhibition hall, you can probably try and do that. But there's a lot to squeeze in. I would say as well, my experience of ProcureX and the awards actually is it's very easy to stay at home and think, oh, I'm just too important to do this, or I can't afford to travel all that way to stand there and talk to exhibitors. But for me, it's one day, and just to have the sort of the humility to get out and get in front of people and just get uncomfortable, and just ask some questions. And I won't be at the back of your room, Thomas, chucking awkward questions at you. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, go and talk to some different people with different perspectives to the ones that you're used to, and test some of those long-held assumptions, and speak to the experts that are in the room for you. And you're only going to have 2 or 3 minutes. You're not going to have all day to do it. Exactly what I'm going to be doing on the day is, well, I'm there to support councils, so I'll be doing whatever I'm asked to do. I think I'm on one of the panels, so I'll be having a conversation a little like this. But the thing for me is to be there and meet people I wouldn't otherwise meet in my day-to-day job, and talk to them, listen to them. And I don't mean just receive the standard sales pitch. I mean, come on, guys, we've all been there. I mean, I would just want to hear what it's like to be doing your job, and what can I do to help that? And I can't guarantee to win business for every company in Wales. It just doesn't work that way. But if I can make life a little bit easier for someone, then I'll always try and do that. And at the same time, try and come away with some lessons for myself to make me better at doing my job.
Thank you. So some great summaries there. And Thomas, I do fear you may have thrown down the gauntlet to all our listeners to come armed with their questions.
I'm fully expecting Richard in the back with a hat and some sunglasses and a moustache on.
Yeah, a short, long-haired guy, that'll be me. Yeah.
Well, we are out of time, but thank you so much to my guests, to Graham, to Richard and to Thomas. Thank you very much for your insights into the procurement landscape at the moment, and also a look ahead to ProcureX Wales 2025. and thank you for listening.